case is Tice versus American Airlines. Mr. Stewart.
May it please the court. This case arose when the company threw the plaintiffs off the flight deck at age 60 and forced them to retire. The source of the right that plaintiffs assert in this matter is the Age Discrimination in Employment Act. Now, in both the Brown case...
Well, actually, the source of your right is the collective bargaining agreement, isn't it?
Well, that's what defendant says, Your Honor. But
No, but I mean, that's what you base your claim to have seniority on. If it wasn't for the collective bargaining agreement, you have no rights to anything.
Well,
in the
obviously,
company, would you?
That would be true in all cases in which there was a collective bargaining agreement, in the sense that plaintiff's seniority is obviously an important factor pertaining to their employment.
Well, it's the only factor.
Well, I don't know.
No employment right without the collective bargaining agreement.
Plaintiffs wouldn't have
have anything.
They would still have employment, Your Honor.
What do you mean? They'd be employees at will.
Well, yes, that's right. There is a collective bargaining.
They have no rights after they reach, 60 to any job in America.
Well, the Age Discrimination and Employment Act certainly barred discrimination.
The Age Discrimination Act doesn't confer employment rights.
That's correct, Your Honor.
It's a collective bargaining agreement.
But the source of the rights to work past the 60th birthday come from the Age Discrimination and Employment Act. Now, in the Brown and...
Forgive me, but there is no provision of the CBA that gives rise to the right to bid down. In the first place, is there?
Well, the CBA does address down bidding. Plaintiffs' claims don't depend upon that right, but the CBA does have provisions providing for down bidding, and there's no restriction on down bidding in this contract, unlike the Supreme Court's decisions in the TWA and Western cases.
And what provision of the CBA gives rise to the right to bid down? And I'm asking this for, any pilot, any employee, age 60, age 40, qualified, unqualified, for any reason.
It may not be in the record in this case, Your Honor, but the contract is replete with discussions about bidding up and bidding down, and the determining factor in the contract is, as Judge Posner indicated, seniority. Pilots commonly bid up and bid down, and the plaintiffs in this matter supplied, as part of the record, a list of 1,500 pilots who, in the last several years, had bid down in America.
They're not the over 60. They're the people who, having bid down, might come back up.
They're pilots under age 60. Pilots under age 60 are allowed to down bid without restriction.
There's a difference between someone who pushed down temporarily to the flight engineer's position, but, the company wants to keep him familiar with the cockpit because he's going to go up and be a co-pilot or pilot someday. That's quite different from someone who will never be a pilot. Why would those people... What purpose is having them in the cockpit?
Well, you're
not going anywhere.
Pilots bid down for a whole lot of different reasons. Some are personal reasons. Some are because they're forced down. And the number of reasons...
The question is not what their motive is. The question is what is the company's, what is the collective bargaining arrangement? And you can see why the young ones who bid down, well, they're people who are likely to come back, when employment improves and so on, and be pilots. So the company wants to keep them in the cockpit. Why would it want to keep in the cockpit people who are never going to be pilots again?
Well, it keeps in the cockpit the people it agrees to keep in the cockpit by virtue of the collective bargaining agreement and other statutes that apply.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
The collective bargaining
agreement.
If we're addressing the section that the district court relied upon, Your Honor, which was section 17-0, that is the qualification in turn provision, that provision, as it states since the last 10 years, provides that pilots are required to qualify once in a higher position, that is once as co-pilot, once as captain. Once that is satisfied, they have met the upper
element. That's your interpretation.
That is the interpretation.
No. These documents that are provisions that seem clear still have to be interpreted to make sense.
The reason...
And it seems to me that there is a big difference between the person who bids down but who's going to come back up someday and the person who bids down and will never be a pilot. Isn't that relevant to
interpretation?
Let me finish my question. Isn't that relevant to interpretation? Aren't the consequences of alternative readings ostensibly clear language relevant to interpretation.
I don't think there can be an alternative reading to the language that's before the court. I think the reason that the district court got it wrong, Your Honor, is because it relied on an interpretation in the case called Tressner, which was from 1979. That case involved a Section 17-0 that no longer exists.
I'm asking you about a case. I'm asking you whether it's your view that if language appears to be clear, an arbitrator can't find in it some kind of latent ambiguity, maybe because the interpretation that seems to come out of the language doesn't make any sense.
I don't think that language which is clear is entitled to further interpretation. I think.
And where do you get that principle from?
Well, I think that in general the principles of contract
law. No, that's not true. There are doctrines like extrinsic ambiguity which say, you know, it looks clear, but it's not clear.
Defendant, I have not heard make any claim, Your Honor, that 17-0 is ambiguous or unclear. It says clearly a pilot may only be required to upgrade the co-pilot one time and only be required to upgrade the captain one time. That is clear, and I have not seen anywhere in defendant's brief that they contend that those sentences are unclear.
No, those sentences are clear. The question, the implications of those sentences for the status of these flight engineers who can't ever resume piloting.
Pilots under age 60, for example, are entitled to downbid if they've met the up or out policy or the so-called qualification
yes, but don't
in turn.
You understand there is a difference in the situation of these two groups of pilots, the young and the old. And your proposition seems to be that even though there's this palpable difference, which is emphasized by the amicus brief and so on, an arbitrator could not take that into account in interpreting the collective bargaining agreement.
There is no arbitration out there of the current Section 17-0 that entitles the company to require a pilot to move up again after he's already qualified as pilot. And all the depositions that I took in this case of defendant's management confirmed that plaintiffs who had met the qualification in turn requirement need not do so again. And there's testimony that a captain, once he's satisfied the qualification in turn requirement, may downbid if he chooses to the flight engineer position, flight officer as you will, and continue in that position the rest of his career. There's nothing in the contract to prohibit that.
Once a pilot meets the FAA's maximum age for pilot, what gives them a right to continued employment? In other words, if there were no flight officer positions, would the company be obliged to offer them a desk job or a job as a flight attendant, for example?
We don't assert that in this case, Judge Rovner. That isn't the fact, of course, in this case. There were jobs on the same seniority list that plaintiffs were eligible and entitled and qualified to perform, and those were the flight officer positions.
How many flight engineers are we talking about?
Well, there are 14 plaintiffs in this case.
I understand, but
the numbers at American Airlines, those numbers have been diminishing over the years.
Because most equipment now does not require a flight engineer.
That's correct. The newer aircraft do not require it. And eventually, within a matter of either this year, next, or the next, the positions may be eliminated altogether, depending on how fast those are retired.
If an arbitrator found age discrimination here, what relief would you be able to get from a federal court that you could not get from an arbitrator?
I don't believe an arbitrator could find or is empowered or has jurisdiction to find age discrimination here, Judge. There's nothing in the contract that would give that arbitrator that authority. And in fact, this very situation came up in the Carlson arbitration that defendant refers to, in which the arbitrator concluded for a pilot who was approaching age 60 that yes, he could downbid to the flight engineer position, but no, he could not continue his employment beyond his 60th birthday because of defendant's independent mandatory age 60 limitation policy.
The reference that other airlines permit this pilot or co-pilot to downgrade.
All of them.
Is that a contractual provision in those instances?
Those have typically been either by the companies deciding to change their their requirements, as in the case of TWA, or in litigation, or determining that the Age Discrimination in Employment Act required it. And there, I refer the court to the decisions in the TWA versus Thurston, the Supreme Court, and also the case of Western Airlines versus Criswell. In both cases, the court determined that the companies had, in slightly different ways, violated the Age Discrimination in Employment Act in refusing to allow pilots to bid down or to bump down to the flight engineer position. I ask that this court reverse the decision below.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. Mr. Gangemi?
We have a split argument.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ms. Bernstein, sorry.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, the plaintiffs in this suit claim that American Airlines violated the Age Discrimination Act by refusing to let them transfer to flight engineer jobs because their age, 60, prevented them from flying as captains. The issue on appeal is whether the district court has subject matter jurisdiction to resolve their federal statutory claims of age discrimination. Clearly, the answer is yes. This case falls squarely within the general rule recognized by the Supreme Court and federal appellate courts, including this court in Brown versus Illinois Central Railroad. The rule is as follows. The RLA will not bar a plaintiff from bringing a claim under an independent federal statute in court because such claims are generally independent of the CBA and will be adjudicated.
But these plaintiffs' claim is really a claim under the collective bargaining agreement. They say their seniority rights give them a right to this position.
Your Honor, whether or not the CBA allowed American to do what it did in this case and deny them.
It's not a question of what American allowed them to do. Their claim is based on the collective bargaining agreement. The collective bargaining agreement doesn't provide for pilot ineligibles to be flight engineers. There's no more age issue.
Actually, Your Honor, there is an age issue because if the reason why these pilots are ineligible, and in this case, the evidence all demonstrates that the sole reason these people were ineligible to serve as captains was because of age.
But the arbitrator might find that the reason that American Airlines did this is that these people have no contractual right to this job.
Well, that may be what the arbitrator would find, but that does not determine whether American discriminated based on age. And in fact, the arbitrator...
There's no disparate impact here. If the collective bargaining agreement provides that if you're ineligible for a pilot, for being a pilot, which might have nothing to do with age, it might have to do with your physical state. And suppose the collective bargaining says no one who cannot become a pilot can be a flight engineer. Then that's the end of their claim.
That's not correct, Your Honor, because this court in Huff versus UARCO held that an employer's reliance on a factor, in that case it was retirement eligibility, that depends even in part on age, and in that case it was age 55 and 10 years of service.
That isn't the law because, you know, in a case like Hazen and so on, you can the fact that there's, say, a correlation between wages and age, you're going to interrupt me. Okay, go ahead.
I understand, Your Honor, but the court in Huff versus UARCO said, no, Hazen paper is when there's only a correlation, but where the factor that the employer is relying on has an age-specific limitation, and in that case it was age 55,
let me ask my question.
Okay.
You and your co-counsel are such interrupters. There's nothing invidious about having a 60-year-old retirement policy for pilots because that's required by federal law. So that's as if it were, you know, it's like having 20/20 eyesight or something. It's not age related. It's a government mandate.
It's a government mandate, but it clearly is age.
You're wrong, because suppose they said that you can't, because the, from the standpoint of the government, the age 60 limitation is not age discrimination. It's a judgment about the physical capacity of people. And if the trigger here of the company's action is simply this FAA regulation, I don't see how that can be age discrimination.
It's not age it is age discrimination. It is not unlawful because it is a BFOQ. There is a federal requirement that says you must satisfy these standards. That becomes a BFOQ for the pilot's job, but it does not extend to the flight engineer's job. And if American is going to put an explicit age limitation that the Federal Aviation Act does not require on another position, it must also demonstrate that that is a BFOQ, and that's what the Supreme Court held in Criswell.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Mr. Gangemi?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. In answer to Judge Robner's question, the collective bargaining agreement at the current time, Section 17, but previously it was Section 23, sets out, not just in O, but in a whole series of provisions, the rules and concerning the exercise of seniority to do a variety of things, including bid up and bid down, and bid laterally. That is in the record, Your Honor, at I believe it is docket number 207, and you can see the entire article there. What you also see is that the collective bargaining agreement does not provide precisely when or under what circumstances an individual may bid. And we would like to make two points in response to the contentions of the appellant. First of all, please recognize that what the plaintiff seeks to do here are to achieve what are unprecedented seniority and bidding rights under the collective bargaining agreement. Never in the history of American Airlines, regardless of how young or how old, regardless of how junior or how senior, have disqualified pilots who can no longer be pilots for whatever reason, been allowed to downbid.
Even if the CBA contains the phantom policy that pilots disqualified by age are never allowed to bid down to flight officer positions, how does that obviate an age discrimination claim? Because that actually seems to me to make the plaintiff's case for them rather than to eliminate it. The law is clear that a CBA cannot nullify an employee's rights under the ADA.
The applicable ADEA law, Your Honor, is TWA versus Thurston. In that case, the Supreme Court was asked the question where individuals are prohibited on the basis of their age under the collective bargaining agreement from downbidding, is that violative of ADEA? And what the court said was, ADEA does not require preferential treatment for older workers. ADEA only requires equal treatment. And so, if all disqualified pilots, and the court said it just that way, if all disqualified pilots cannot bid down, cannot transfer to the flight engineer's position, then people who are no longer qualified by virtue of the FAA's age 60 rule would not be entitled to downbid either.
Well, in its letters to the age 60 pilots, American was clear that it didn't care whether or not the pilots were qualified or disqualified, but only cared that they were age 60. With that kind of express intention of treating the pilots differently based on age, why should we look at similarly situated younger pilots at all? And if we do compare this pool to younger employees, why compare them to disqualified younger pilots when the company clearly states the policy applies regardless of qualification.
Your Honor, our view on that is as follows. If I can put it this way, an analogy, disqualification is the genus. In the case of these pilots, the species is disqualification on the basis of age. Under Thurston, the question is, how do you treat the entire genus? Now, as to those communications, what those letters were saying is that you're disqualified on the basis of age. Therefore, we do not care about what your qualifications are for the flight officer's position, for the flight engineer's position. You are no longer qualified as a pilot, in this case, on the basis of your age. Now, the key issue under ADEA is there evidence of disparate treatment in fact? If there is no disparate treatment, Your Honor, then there is no ADEA case. That's what Thurston teaches. Now, in this case, we filed a very simple, straightforward summary judgment motion at the close of discovery saying just that. There is no evidence of disparate treatment. We did not raise the collective bargaining agreement. They did. Because when they came back in response, their gambit was, well, we have a right to downbid under the collective bargaining agreement, and it's being denied to us on the basis of age. In fact, they took the position that all disqualified pilots were entitled to downbid under this new collective bargaining agreement. Well, at that point, we realized that we had what amounted to a contract dispute here. Because if they're right that all disqualified pilots can downbid, including their pilots, well, then they have a right under the collective bargaining agreement to downbid. But if we're right that no disqualified pilot can downbid under the collective bargaining agreement, well, then they have no right. And as your Honor made the point earlier, what gives the pilot the right to continue in employment? The answer is the collective bargaining agreement gives it, but it also will define when, where, how, and under what circumstances. And as long as the when, where, why, and how, and what circumstances treats all pilots equally, all disqualified pilots equally, then there is no age discrimination. That is the teaching of Thurston.
With regard to flight engineers, is there a requirement that they be pilots either through FAA regulations or the collective bargaining agreement?
Under the FAA, there is no requirement. Under the tripartite agreement between American Airlines, the APA, and the FEIA, which is the Flight Engineers Union, all flight persons hired for that third seat after 1965, I believe it is, Your Honor, are required to be pilots. And no one who is not a pilot and who is not on that pilot progression list can be put into that seat other than the grandfathered former flight engineers who were professional mechanics from the pre-jet era, if you will.
So this whole issue with regard to flight engineers is there not because of FAA regulation, but because of the collective bargaining agreement. If the collective bargaining agreement didn't require them to be pilots, then we wouldn't have this issue.
If American Airlines did not have a collective bargaining agreement that sustained its up or out policy, which is that all persons in the cockpit must be either captains or in the process of progressing to captains, and that no one can downbid when they become disqualified in order to evade the consequence of that disqualification. If that were not the rule, if that were not the collective bargaining agreement, you're right, we wouldn't have the issue. But bear in mind, Your Honor, for 30 years, and it's reflected in arbitration awards going back to 1957, it's reflected in judicial decisions from 1979 in the Murnane case.
Speaking of judicial decisions, forgive me, but can you distinguish Johnson versus State of New York? And would we have to split from the Second Circuit to affirm the district court?
No, because that issue is not before the court, Your Honor. That is a case where there is no contract dispute over what, how pilots are being treated, or how, in that case, I think it's security guards are being treated. In that case, the court...
It's the Air National Guard case.
Yeah, the Air National Guard case. And I think the facts were that they were required to have... to be members of the Air National Guard for the other position they were holding. In that case, the court was addressing solely the IDEA issue and was trying to interpret what the impact of Hazen paper would be on this rule that they were had. But they were addressing the IDEA issue directly. We don't get to the IDEA issue in this case because the plaintiffs have based, as Judge Posner has said, their claim upon the collective bargaining agreement. In the Johnson case, there is no dispute concerning the collective bargaining agreement. So I disagree with the Johnson opinion. We disagree with the Johnson opinion respectively. But for the purposes of this case, it's not, we don't reach it. We don't have to argue that argument today because of the way in which the plaintiffs based and structured their case. As Judge Kennelly said, the plaintiffs contend that they are entitled to downbid by virtue of their seniority rights under the collective bargaining agreement. He recognized that once that was the upshot of the plaintiff's case, and you don't have to take our word for it or Judge Kennelly's word for it, all you have to do is read the summary judgment document below and you can see that it is just infused with claim after claim of their rights under the collective bargaining agreement. And I repeat, Your Honor, if we are treating young people and older people the same under the collective bargaining agreement, namely all disqualified pilots, regardless of their age, regardless of their seniority, cannot downbid, if that is the rule, then there is no disparate treatment, so you never reach the issue in Johnson.
What are the disqualification bases besides age?
There are innumerable ones, Your Honor. You can be disqualified because of you don't have the proficiency required by the FAA. You can be disqualified because while you have the proficiency required by the FAA, you don't have enough for American standards. You can be disqualified because you medically don't meet the requisites of the FAA. You can be disqualified because while you meet the requisites, the medical requisites of the FAA, you don't meet Americans. And there's an arbitration award in the record that specifically does that, where the FAA gave the pilot who had a heart problem the right to fly. And American, because of the limitations that the FAA had placed on him, said, no, you will not be allowed to fly as a pilot. And he was terminated. He wasn't allowed to go down into the flight officer's position.
Does the record contain anything on about the percentage of pilots who become disqualified before they reach 60? Or numbers?
I don't know. We put into the record, Your Honor, we tried to give examples. There are, in the record, at paragraph, I believe it is 72 of the Rule 56 statement, and we also append documents to that. There is an example of, I believe, 7 or 8 individuals who were disqualified, not by virtue of age, but disqualified for various other reasons, who were not allowed to continue in the employ of the company. There is, and I invite the court, in fact, we included it in our appendix, I invite the court to read the arbitration awards in Tresner, in Maycomer, in Cox, and in Ketchner. And also, while we didn't include in the appendix, the arbitration awards in Leonard and in Newcomer, all are examples of people who were not permitted to continue in the employ of the company not permitted to downbid into the flight officer's position for disqualifications having nothing to do with age and not because they were approaching the age 60 rule of the FAA. In fact, there's a very compelling one in the record, it's not in the appendix, of the first African-American female pilot at the airlines, and it recounts the Herculean efforts to try to qualify this individual to move up in the organization because she was the first. And it described the agonizing efforts by the company to try to find a way to qualify her. But when she couldn't qualify to move up, she wasn't allowed to go back to flight officer, although she was, by all accounts in the record, an admirable person trying very hard to make the grade here. She was terminated, and the termination was upheld. And I say, if a person like that, having nothing to do with age, if they're, when they're disqualified, can't continue in the cockpit, why should these individuals, who are not progressing, as Judge Posner said, not progressing at all into the position and the progression of the airline? I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Pretty much the same question I asked Mr. Silver. Is the arbitrator empowered to order all the relief of federal court could?
No. I do not believe that the arbitrator could, for example, find age discrimination. I mean, he could find it, but he couldn't find a violation of a DIA. He could say this is age discriminatory and therefore not just, but he could not find a violation of the DIA. But recognize that under Brown, the precedent of this case, precedent of this court, and the Schlitz case.
But unlike the plaintiff in Brown, the plaintiffs here are not seeking to displace more senior employees, but rather less senior employees. I mean, isn't Brown distinguishable on that ground alone? It seems that but for their age, these pilots would be allowed to downbid and displace these less senior employees.
I disagree, Your Honor. And I commend to you to read the Thurston opinion again, because there it is clear that
anything else you want me to read?
Well, actually, the Brown.
Maybe I have a different view of Thurston.
Maybe you do, Your Honor, but it's my job to press my view of the Thurston case.
Okay.
My time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Gungami. Mr. Serwer, how much time do we have? 1 minute?
No captain under age 60 has ever requested to downbid to the flight engineer position, so defendant's so-called policy, which is nowhere found in writing, only applies to age 60 pilots.
Wait a second. You're saying that they would permit someone who had been disqualified because of health and failing his proficiency test, they would allow him to downgrade?
On the health score, the issue never arises because, as a practical matter, no pilot who's disqualified medically could serve as a flight engineer. The qualifications are the same.
He gave a different example.
He gave the Macomber example, and that's a very interesting...
Let me finish half a sentence.
Sorry.
He gave an example of someone who satisfied the FAA's health requirements but did not satisfy American Airlines.
At that time, the medical requirements were different. Defendant, when it refused to allow that person to return to the flight engineer position, did so not because of a policy, not because of any statement he was disqualified, but because that person did not meet the company's medical requirements for the flight engineer position, and that's reflected in the Macomber grievance, which is part of the record here.
Does the CBA make any reference to age? Or does it just refer to disqualification?
There are a couple references to age, but not insofar as downbidding is concerned, Your Honor.
Well, suppose someone were disqualified for failing a proficiency test for pilot or something like that. Is it your view that the collective bargaining agreement would entitle him to downbid?
Virtually all of the system board decisions that counsel is referring to are of pilots who did not yet complete the obligation to qualify.
You're not answering my question. Yes or no?
Well, could you restate it, Your Honor? I was getting to the point because virtually all the people...
The question is, then, forget virtually all the questions. Is it your position that if someone is disqualified for being a pilot for a reason that doesn't disqualify him for being a flight engineer, he can down bid under the collective bargaining agreement.
So far as I know, there is nothing in the collective bargaining agreement that says he can't, and there is no captain who has requested it, who has denied it because of a policy that defendant talks about here. That policy is an unwritten.
Well, what about the various arbitrations he refers to, people who wanted to down bid and were forbidden to?
That's what I was referring to first. Those people, for example, the African-American pilot, had not satisfied her obligation to qualify in turn for the higher position. But once, and all of those people that he's talking about, and Ketcher and the various others, were all people who were fired because they had not yet met the qualification in turn requirement in Section 17-0.
But what about the situation of someone who has, he's qualified as a pilot, so qualified once, and now because of health or declining proficiency or something, even though he's under 60, he no longer can be a pilot, but he is capable of being a flight engineer. Now, is it your view that the collective bargaining agreement entitles that person to downgrade?
There's nothing that says he can't.
Well, that's not my question. My question is, does the collective bargaining agreement entitle the person to downgrade?
All I can speak to is what I can read, Your Honor. I can't speak to anything else. There's nothing to prevent it. There's simply no prohibition on it, whatever. If the pilot is qualified to serve as a flight officer, and bids for it and can hold it, he can serve in that position if he's qualified. There's nothing that I see that would prevent that. But that's pilots under age 60. Here we have a requirement that forbid pilots to serve beyond their 60th birthday solely because of their age.
Solely because of the FAA.
Well, the FAA rule is a different job. It doesn't apply to the flight engineer job. And taking a rule applying to one job and trying to apply it another is what the Supreme Court...
Well, but the CBA makes a pilot requirement for the flight engineer.
This is a trick word, Your Honor, because the word pilot, as used in the agreement, only means that a person hold a commercial pilot certificate.
Right.
He doesn't have to be qualified. So flight engineers and co-pilots are not qualified at American to be captains. They only become qualified if they can qualify when their time comes. In that sense, the plaintiffs surely are qualified as pilots because they hold more than the minimum requirements for the pilot certificate.
Am I incorrect in this view that the policy that American claims is part of the CBA is nowhere in the CBA, and if it exists at all, it's an informal policy that was never made an express part of the CBA?
That's entirely correct.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, both sides. Next case.